Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Thanks to HelloFresh for supporting The Instance. Go to HelloFresh.com/WOW12 and use the code WOW12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. And we want to thank Amazon Pharmacy for supporting the show. Amazon Pharmacy makes it easy to order your prescriptions and have them delivered straight to your door. Amazon Prime members can save on prescription medication when not using insurance and get free two-day delivery. Learn more at Amazon.com/WOWRX.
Listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 638, and it is Friday, May 14th, 2021. I'm Scott Johnson, joined by and with Garrett Weinzierl. Hello, Garrett.
Happy Friday, Scott.
Hey, man. I hope you're doing well. I noticed something yesterday. I was looking at the old iTunes rankings. You know, I do that sometimes, kind of rarely, but once in a while. Mm. And that used to be a thing you'd check all the time. And back when The Instance was like 1 and 2 in the games category, it would be a thing I'd sort of pay attention to all the time. But these days I don't worry about it as much. There's a lot of other ways people get their podcasts that have nothing to do with iTunes. And so it's less of an issue. But I had forgotten just how many shows, some of them aren't active anymore. A lot of them aren't. But just how many shows in the intervening years popped up that claim to be World of Warcraft shows? There are so many in there now. There's so many. It's like thousands. And again, tons of them aren't running. A lot of them faded a long time ago, whatever. But it's crazy. If you haven't been paying attention, like when I started, there were like 4. And there's a lot now. Hundreds at least. So thank you for choosing this airline, because we know you have a choice, everybody out there.
We know you have many choices in your World of Warcraft podcast. Fewer, if you count the ones that are still putting up new episodes, but we're glad that you chose us.
Yeah, slightly fewer than just a couple of days ago. I was sorry to hear about the hiatusing of WoW Killer.
Don't make me talk about that.
We're not bringing it up here.
Dude, God. Well, you brought it up. You and I have killed some shows.
Yeah, I've done it before.
This is not new territory for either of us. All right, no. The long and short of it is my other WoW show, WoW Killer, that I did with Taliesin, there were 4 weeks where we could not sync our schedules.
Yeah.
It was impossible. Dude's in London. I'm in Florida.
Yeah, time is hard.
And so I was like, man, I'm kind of over my anxiety threshold for being wildly inconsistent. I think it might be time to maybe put this on pause. And,
yeah.
And he agreed. And anyway, decided to kill it. And like I said, I've killed many shows in the past.
Yeah.
I've got, dude, the WoW community is like the nicest mofos on the planet.
They can be.
I've gotten so many messages. I've never gotten this many messages before when I've ever killed a damn thing, but also like they're gut wrenching.
Yeah.
So many people are being so kind and say, these are the nicest things I've ever read anyone say about me. I haven't read one. I've read every single message that's come in and none of it has been mean.
That's good. That's really cool.
So it's like y'all are breaking my heart.
Oh,
y'all are breaking my heart. But we still have The Instance, which makes
me glad. You know, rest in H, which is hiatus. You know, who knows? Maybe one day that thing springs wings again. You never know. You never say never in this world.
Yeah. Tally and I, we had some words on potential future ways to resurrect it. But at the moment, it's going back into the phylactery. Maybe one day WoW Killer will rise as a lich.
Nice. Anything to do with the phylactery, and I am in. All right. Well, we're going to dive right in. We got stuff to talk about today. Got a few things coming up. Your Burning Crusade is burning. I can smell it. And
there's ointments for that, but you got to get a lot of basilisk guys.
Yeah. And I don't like them. So maybe
it's no good.
We'll use the ladies out in the Hellfire ladies, I call them. The ones that are the big tall ladies with the multiple arms that look like Shiva
with the body from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I like those ladies. Those guys are
good. Well, today we found out what Scott likes.
Yep. Burning Crusade memories, baby. right, we got a few things to dive into in our side quest today. Let's start with this one. We have another example of an island of brand new people. Well, not brand new people, but ex-Blizzard people and some ex-other developers, including Epic, some big names from Epic, have splintered off and begun building their own games. This week, it feels like it's almost weekly now, it's in the form of a company called Lightforge Games. These guys have already raised $5 million in investment, and they aim to, quote, mesh elements from Minecraft or Roblox with tabletop RPGs. Now, some people have heard that and went, that sounds weird. That's not my game. I don't understand. I think maybe there's people are putting a little too much into that. They clearly have seen. Well, let me put it this way. We know how popular Minecraft is. Roblox is out of control popular with a certain demographic. Like,
do all the only thing that's missing from this buzzword wise is roguelike.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, what's popular with the kids these days? Yeah. Let's slam it in here so we get investors.
They also said something about, our plan is to rethink RPGs from the ground up, whatever the heck that means. So this is a group of former Epic and Blizzard developers, and they announced that formation 2 days ago, I guess. I guess it's been 2 days.
Yeah, Glenn Rain is gone from Blizzard.
Yeah.
Is part of the news here. He's been a lead artist on Blizzard as a whole forever. I interviewed him when I went to art school.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he's been there since, I don't have the date, but a long, long time Blizzard dude, and is now art director for this company. Among some other names, here's the other founding members of the team. We've got Shimberry. His first name is, I'm going to find it. Where did it go? I lost it. Here it is. Matt Shimberry. He is your CEO. And he is a ex Blizzard and ex Epic guy. So he's been in both places. I think 8 years at Blizzard and another 4 at Epic. And now this. Anyway, they'll have studio director Nathan Fairbanks, engineer director Dan Hertzka, and as we mentioned, Glenn Rain in the art position, and product designer Mark Hutcherson. And the studio's website emphasizes, quote, a culture of empathy, honesty, and growth. That's one of the interesting things about this thing. We don't have any games yet, like anybody else who's done this. We don't have Dreamhaven games yet. We don't have Bonfire games yet. We don't, I mean, really, the closest thing to a game we have is Metzen's D&D Sourcebook, which comes out after this Kickstarter ends. Outside of that, and Warchief Gaming, none of these have any kind of products yet. Nothing to announce, nothing to release, nothing with a timeline. However, what makes these guys slightly unique, I think, is they've gone to great lengths in their initial announcement to describe the kind of company they want to build. And they've already been at it for about 10 months. Nobody knew this, but they were quietly sort of building it, getting that funding, all that stuff was happening sort of behind the scenes. But there's a couple of tenets here that I thought were interesting. One is this inclusion idea, this fairness idea, this diversity idea. Not that other companies aren't trying to do this, but they're kind of founding that on those principles. And part of that is, and in an interview, he goes into great detail about this, but I'll try to sum it up. Basically, they don't want people to have to uproot their lives to join a video game development company the way traditionally that works. And all of these guys have sort of been through that, where you get the job, you have to sell your house or get out of your apartment, break your lease, somehow get across the country, all the costs involved with that, leaving your family or, you know, whatever family you were leaving, that sort of stuff to get the job done. And then a lot of times in this industry, you work on the one game and then half of you get laid off or you get moved to another studio or whatever, and you got to uproot your life again. And they believe, and I think they're onto something, that we don't need to do that so much anymore. Especially for small developers, they don't need to do this. You know, I would remind people the entire Ori games, those two Ori games, Will of the Wisps and the one before it, made entirely remotely, even outside the pandemic. It was before the pandemic, that first game. That team figured out how to make a AAA quality style game and do it all remotely from one another with the occasional conference here and there where they would see each other. But I think the first time two of them met was GDC 1 year. But had already built the first game. It was like crazy stuff like that. So they want to really double down on that and say, pandemic or not, we just live in a time where we can do this. So if you live in Houston and you're happy there and your life needs you there, we are not asking you to pull all your roots up and come out here to California or the other way around. We're saying, where are you? and the modern life makes it so that we can all be together no matter what, and we can make a game. I think that's really cool, especially if they can pull it off. That's kind of the trick here, is to see if they can pull it off.
Makes a lot of sense to me. You know, the pandemic combined with just how much better internet connections have gotten in recent years, it's just like there's really nothing you can't do from damn near anywhere, especially when it comes to work that can be done on a computer.
Right. Right, which is nearly 100% of this.
Last year, joined an entirely remote video game studio.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. So there's a few of those, and I think it's going to be more common. You know, will the Activisions of the world, or even the Blizzards of the world, do we foresee a future like that for them? Probably not. But you know, there's a size thing. There's a sort of workflow that's already in place, sort of thing going on. So probably not. But these small teams, I think this is worth experimenting with, and I really want to see what they come up with. One of the quotes, interesting ones from the CEO, was this: "LifeForge is creating a game in a new space that has tons of potential," said Dreamhaven. Oh, Morheim, actually. Sorry, quote from Morheim.
Dreamhaven CEO, LifeForge.
He says the team is full of veteran developers, and I'm excited about their vision. I had a side conversation with Metzen, and he's particularly excited about this group. Talks of them very fondly as being a group of people that are really passionate and incredibly talented, and thinks this is one to watch for whatever that's worth. Yeah, there seems to be a lot of excitement about it. And the other thing I like is Frost Giant, Dreamhaven, all these developers that are all splinter groups from the Blizzard mothership. They all seem to be super stoked for each other. And Second Breakfast, or whatever their name is. What's Broad Studio? Second Breakfast? What is it?
I wish it was Second Breakfast. Second Dinner.
Second Dinner, sorry.
Yeah.
they were, you know, they reached out and congratulated. And, you know, there's always some of that in the industry. But in particular, you're just really seeing a lot of excitement all around for this and for others. And I feel like it's a tipping point. This feels like a moment of we're actually going to start seeing games. Like, Bonfire always felt a little bit like a magic show with no end. Like, okay, well, a lot of really talented people left, and Pardo had the money, and can they do this? And then nothing. We've got nothing out of those guys. Like, zip. But Dreamhaven, I don't know. I feel different about that. I feel like we might get a game. A game may happen. And the more of these that happen, the more I'm convinced that we're going to see A, more actual games come out of this, and B, we'll be able to find out who's really got the stuff or not. And it's kind of exciting. I'm stoked.
Are you really surprised, though, that companies made of mostly what we would consider old school Blizzard alumni are taking a long time releasing a game?
Yeah. I mean, no. But in the case of Bonfire, I'm a little surprised they're not showing Jack. Like,
yeah, Bonfire, it's kind of hilarious. I mean, not that Dreamhaven has shown Jack either, but they also haven't been around as long as Bonfire.
Right. They need more time, I think. Or they should be allowed more time to actually tell us something. But I think, what, 4.5 something years at Bonfire is enough?
I keep forgetting they are still a company. Right. That's how long they've been around, right, and not, right, teased anything other than employment positions. But yeah, the thing that really sticks out to me about this story is that Dreamhaven is investing in other studios, which I find fascinating.
Yeah, that's true.
One of the many studios mentioned in the $5 million backing from investors.
That's true.
You know, NetEase is in here, Galaxy Interactive is in here, but Dreamhaven is in there. And so this is the first I've heard of Dreamhaven investing in companies other than itself.
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting thing. Also, I'm getting a weird... I just went to go see when Bonfire was founded so I could get kind of a timeline for how long it's been since we've heard. But are they part of Zynga now or something? Hold on. This is weird.
Who? Bonfire?
Okay. Bonfire Studios, the former Zynga Dallas logo as Bonfire Studios. It's now a subsidiary of Zynga. When did that happen?
I do not know.
That can't be right. Is this wrong? Hold on. Bonfire Studios was a game based... Okay, after Ensemble Shoot Studios was shut down by Microsoft and... Oh, you know what this is. This is Bonfire Studios, not Bonfire Games or whatever they're calling themselves. So there's some confusion.
Oh, this is a different Bonfire.
Different studio. Yeah, okay. Never mind. And they're not. Okay. They're gone. They're Zanga South, basically. So forget everything I just said.
So Studios is something that was taken over by Zynga. Games is still on.
Well, according to this, they are still calling themselves Studios. So there's some.
No, it's still Bonfire Studios. Okay. So you've had some that's older than that, I guess.
It's weird. Yeah. So this has been about 10 years ago that was dissolved. But anyway, they did say this. I guess this is close to an announcement we got. Rob Pardo's on the record. This is according to GamesBeat. He said, our first game is going to be PC-focused game. I think it might eventually go cross-platform, but it's a PC game. It's definitely much more of a core audience, and we're not going to suddenly go out and make Candy Crush. It's a weird flex, isn't it? I don't know. It's a weird thing to say. I mean,
You know, a lot of people have been really worried about that over on the Blizzard side of things with how much focus there's been on mobile. So, you know, you're free to say whatever the hell you want.
Mm-hmm.
This tracks.
Yeah.
This is, I think, a really good blunt example of the fact that, like, just because you're at Blizzard doesn't mean you agree with everything that has been happening.
That's the truth. That is a good takeaway. Real quick here to get to the point, I was looking this up. It was founded in 2016. So we're now 5 years on. And no specific game announcement. And 3 years since he made that quote. So I don't know what's coming out of there. But the point is...
Okay, so Bonfire, I can just remember how old it is by remembering what year I got married.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I always think of 2016 as the year after Mad Max Fury Road came out. That's how I think of it. Yeah. That's how I think of now. It is now 6 years since Mad Max Fury Road came out.
Goodness gracious me.
It's like AD. Or BC. We knew right when the thing was. You got the Jesus right there. Boink. Right in the middle, right? You cut it in half.
AFR. After Fury Road.
Yeah, after Fury Road. Yeah. So anyway, but beside all of that, whether Bonfire's got anything to show or not, or whether they're the ones to keep your eye on, or whether Dreamhaven's the one because it's Mike Morhaime and big money bat behind that and all that other stuff, whatever it is, it's going to be a really interesting thing to see how this shakes out. And then the whole time we've got, you know, Riot in the same county building a next generation MMO, and everyone's pretty weirded out by what that might be, and Amazon with their weird MMO. Like, I feel like we're heading into a new phase of what the future of MMOs looks like, because I gotta think that whether you're I there's no way for me to know this, but all of these studios, if I was able to take a bird's eye view of all of them, one of them is making an MMO. I'm sure of it, of these new groups. There's just no way they're not. Now, they may not succeed, or it may not, you know, ultimately come to fruition, but I'll bet you money it's either Dreamhaven or these guys, possibly Bonfire. Somebody's making the groundwork for a new MMO. And my point in all of that is we may be entering the next phase of what an MMO is, and everyone's going to be competing for what that is. And it might finally be time, you know. Blizzard's held that title for so long, and WoW has been at that for so long that I feel like maybe now is the time that others come and start poking at the mooring a little more seriously, and try to do what everyone tried to do in 08 and 09 but failed, and maybe they'll succeed this time. I don't know. And don't email me about Final Fantasy 14 and ESO, because yes, they're examples of successful MMOs that worked around Blizzard, and good on them. I don't mean that. I just mean, what is the next generation? What's the fidelity of that? What is different? What is vastly different? Like, where are we at in 10 years? That's interesting.
To me, the thing that's piquing my interest is Riot. I stand to be proven wrong that Amazon can make a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Or even finish a game. But Riot, you know, while I've never been a big fan of any of their stuff, the quality is undeniable.
Sure.
They make infinitely playable games that appeal to millions of players.
Right.
So
lately they've done that in spades. Like, originally it was they made a game that appeals to billions of players. And now they've got multiple games that appeal to a lot of people and have done well.
How quickly, too, right? Like, yeah. They had, like, one for so long, and then suddenly it's like, oh, and also Valorant, and also Teamfight Tactics. Yeah. And, hey, you remember Greg Street? He's working on a new MMO.
Yeah.
For us.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
And you can see him. Follow him on Twitter. You can see him bursting at the seams to want to tell everybody everything, but he can't. I can see.
Yeah, he was on Twitter last night being like, I just want to talk about MMOs, but I think you're going to all read into it.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, just let me read into it. Just talk, man. Talk. Go nuts.
Yeah, let it loose.
Go nuts.
Somebody said they'd start a fund to get him on a 5-hour episode of this show where we just noodle him. And I would do that.
Can we?
I would love to.
Can we? By the way, coolest thing ever happened to me at a Nerdtacular was Greg Street going, oh, hey, Garrett. Be like, oh, God, he knows who I am. That is the coolest thing ever happened to me at Nerdtacular.
He knows everyone. We should, you know what? As a show right now with audience in tow, we should ask Greg. Here, let's do it. Here goes. I'm texting him now. We're going to say, hey, man. Hold on. This is great. Hey, man, how cool would it be if we had you on the show sometime to just talk MMOs in general? Don't have to leak anything or talk any WoW
smack. If you're close to Riot headquarters, the sound you're hearing is the public relations alarm system going off.
Let's see, Medium. He and I are always trying to figure out ways to talk, but this might be the one. Chat about the Medium itself. Love to hear your thoughts. Okay, so it's out
tell
there.
Tell him you can begin every statement with, you know, personally, I'm just into X.
Yeah. Well, and that's
this is just my opinion, but, and expand.
That's why he was always off, that whole totally off the leash thing was about him, you know, having a lot to say and just saying it. And at a time where Blizzard was less, at least, I don't know, felt like they were less open to their creators being super vocal, he still managed to do that. And I don't know what the kind of leashes they have on him at Riot, but he's got one of the most interesting takes in the business, and I'd love hearing it. So that may come to nothing. We'll see, but maybe he'll be willing. Yeah. Usually we talk about food when I text him, so this will probably make him go, oh, all this food talk just to get me softened up so I'll come on the show. That's what he'll say.
That's gonna be it. Yeah, that's it. Well,
anyway,
Blizzard's softening us up in regards to Burning Crusade Classic because the character clone service is now only going to cost $15, Scott.
That was quite a turnaround from the, what was it, 34? Was it?
$35
yeah.
was what they originally said it was going to cost. The WoW team referred to this as a quote-unquote course correction and continued saying, quote, our original concept of the value of this service was largely based on how we price other optional items and services. We want players to choose Classic Era Realms to feel as though their choice comes with the possibility that they'll be able to build relationships and guilds with other players they can count on. Mm. However, over the last week or so, we've gotten a very large amount of feedback from the community. We've decided to lower the price. A lower price will likely still accomplish our goals with the new service while allowing many more players to explore the option of playing characters on both Classic Era and Burning Crusade Classic Realms.
Yep. What do you think of that? I mean, I feel like that's a better price if you're asking me just raw dollars.
It's a better price. I still think, in my mind, there was no universe where we didn't just copy from the get-go because it was tech that already existed in form of the public test realm.
Right.
In terms of this statement, this reeks of lip service to me. I'm like, y'all just wanted to make some money. Like, come on.
Yeah. Like, I mean, blowback has proven in the past to alter course for Blizzard sometimes. It's not like they don't change their mind sometimes quickly, depending on the kind of feedback they get from the industry. But this is, I guess I'm a little surprised by how quickly, I mean, people must have really thrown a stink, I'm thinking, about this, more than I paid attention to, because I knew people. People always throw a stink, but this must have been gnarly, you know?
Well, funny enough, I just talked about, you know, WoW killer ending or whatever, but like, I think of Tally as a pretty level-headed individual, and even he was, you know, even he was like, "Yeah, this is a little money grabby."
Yeah.
So it's like, to me, what stuck out was folks that I consider to be pretty even keeled when it comes to conversations around stuff like this, being like, "Yeah, I don't really have a defense for this one."
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because they were really, I felt really put off by the price, but now I don't. So I guess mission accomplished if most players are feeling good about that. Someone in the chat are like, nice backpedal. I mean, I don't know. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like, if Blizzard did nothing to change it, you'd still be a little irritated that you're going to pay it.
That's where I'm annoyed with, like, certain subsections of the community where I'm like, they did what you wanted. They dropped the price.
Yeah.
Like, give them a break.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. All right. Well, good news out there for a very small percentage of players, but I do like this about Blizzard all over the years. I love that they do this. They made it possible for more people to play their game. If you are a Windows ARM 64 player, all right, you know who you are because you're using a Windows install on a device that runs a non-Intel based chip, an ARM based 64-bit chip. In Chains of Domination, they added Windows 10 ARM 64 support for World of Warcraft Shadowlands. This literally makes it possible, as they said, quote, to run WoW on Windows 10 with ARM 64 devices, which has previously not been possible. And this is now testable in a new build of Chains of Domination on the PTR. They say, while our internal testing has been successful, we're looking for any unexpected issues that might arise out there. So please test the latest Chains of Domination PTR build in your Windows 10 ARM 64 device and let us know if you run into any issues in the forum thread. In particular, we expect the performance of the game to be relative to the specifications of the device. So please feel free to tell us about your specs and how WoW performs for you. So good news if you're one of those people. I'm guessing this will affect mostly like the ARM Surface buyers, people who have the ARM version of the Windows Surface tablet stuff. And I actually don't know what other devices besides that. I'm sure there's some third party because there always is. But they must have felt internally that they should support that. So that's a bigger part of the potential player base than I would have thought. It's obviously not people's main way, or else they wouldn't be asking people to test it on a thing if they haven't already played the game. So if there's somebody out there who's like, I only have an ARM 64 device and that's all I've ever had, well, then this might be their first exposure to World of Warcraft in the first place. So I don't know. But that's a small bit of news, but I thought it was interesting. This is just more about Blizzard's desire to, you know, make it play on everything. They put in M1 support for Macs as soon as those came out. I really appreciated that. Some games haven't done that, and it's to their detriment, I think, in terms of just the broadest possible appeal. I liked being able to jump back and forth. And if I'm on my Mac for a minute, go, all right, I need to pop in here and do some quick stuff. And then play more, you know, more dedicated on the PC. But it was nice to have the option. And games like ESO, for example, have stopped. Well, they're not making it so you can't play it on your Mac, but they're not going to do much to support it. They're just like, yeah, this takes us out of the more easy sort of everything's on Intel approach that we've had here. So while it'll still run, we're not going to officially support it anymore. So I like that Blizzard does that. That's pretty good. Garrett, tell me about Torghast and why I might one day get more out of the experience than I do now.
Well, it is not this day though, there is not going to be leveling in Torghast in 9.1, but sure sounds like there's a strong possibility of it as a 0.5 addition in a future patch. There was a recent interview with Sloot. In it, WoW lead game designer Morgan Day answered a question regarding allowing players to level up alts in Torghast. This has been a pretty common request from players that enjoy the mode or just want a different way to level up. Essentially Morgan Day said that while it's not planned for 9.1, they do enjoy the idea and would like to see it make its way into a 0.5 patch. So, another potential way to get XP, for your alts in the future of Shadowlands.
I could tell you, I would enjoy a whole lot more Torghast if I got that out of it. I've always said, like, just give me some basics out of there that will help me, during short runs where, you know, you can't really save it mid run, that sort of stuff. Give me another reason to go in there than just the, you know, the weekly rewards. And some of that could be XP.
I'd like a consumable item that so I want to go get my ash on my main, but like drop XP items I can send to my alts, but yes. I just consume them and get a chunk of XP or something.
Yes, or a lot more gold, or in this case, XP. Give me some XP. And yes, if you could give it to your alts, that's even cooler. Like some way to pass the XP on to your alts is a great idea. But even if it just meant, I guess it was in the last expansion, you could go to islands and level a character entirely through islands, although you never had a good weapon the whole time. But that was a thing you could do. I think they should just let you do that here. that might mean you're going to have to drop some gear. But
it certainly seems like what Morgan Day is alluding to, which is like, hey, take your 51 in there and level up.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. That would actually drive me in there again, I think, because right now I cannot do Torghast. I gave it my best, everybody. Well, not my best. I gave it as much as I was willing to give it. And I just got...
I'm saying, did you?
Yeah, there's no best, but it's sometimes your best isn't good enough, as the song taught us a long time ago, whoever sang that. How's that go? Hold on. Sometimes your best isn't good enough. Do you know what song I'm talking about?
I have no idea, Scott. I can't help you with this one. I'm thinking of Simply the Best.
Simply
at the moment.
The Best. That's a good one, too. very nice. Hey, you guys. Time to talk about our good friends, our pals, if you will, at HelloFresh. I love HelloFresh because HelloFresh is so good. So it's great cooking with HelloFresh, first of all. It's America's number one meal kit. And they are offering you 12 free meals, including free shipping, when you go to HelloFresh.com/WOW12. And you can use the code WOW12 to get those 12 free meals. They offer 25 recipes. More than that, actually. 25 plus. Featuring a range of flavors, cuisines, and ingredients that you'll never get bored of. So try something new every week. And eating healthier was never... been an easier thing to do right now with low calorie, low carb or carb smart, even vegetarian and pescatarian options each and every week. HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips, so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in about 30 minutes or less. Man, that's good for me. HelloFresh has already donated over 4 million meals to charity in 2020. And now they're stepping up food donations to local communities and the food insecurity crisis from the pandemic. I love that they're involved in cool stuff like that. That's awesome. So go to HelloFresh.com/WOW12 and use the code WOW12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. Do it today. You shall not regret it. And I want to thank our friends at Amazon Pharmacy. Amazon Pharmacy is awesome. They make it easier for you to order prescriptions and have them delivered straight to you at your door. Process is simple, saves you both time and hassle. No more waiting in line at the pharmacy. Oh my gosh, that's enough for me. I hate lines at the pharmacy. Instead, just have your doctor's office send your next prescription straight to Amazon Pharmacy, and you'll receive it delivered straight to your door. And it works with most insurance plans nationwide. That's important. I've had nothing but good experience with this. We started doing this, and it's been amazing. The convenience factor alone is worth it, but also, we're not paying anymore, and I don't have to go to the pharmacy. It just shows up. And that's fantastic. Amazon Prime members can save on prescription medication when not using insurance and get free two-day delivery. Learn more at amazon.com/wowrx. That's amazon.com/wowrx. All right, well done. Now time for our main quest. Garrett and I thought it would be fun to talk about Burning Crusade Classic in a way that is not the normal way. We're not going to talk a bunch about gameplay systems or some of the normal things you might talk about when it comes to vanilla and progression. Instead, both of us coming from an art background, looking at what that expansion meant in terms of the aesthetic of WoW moving forward. And the art and tone of the Burning Crusade is a really interesting one. Basically, it introduces... in a way, a much more in front of you graphical way of what their demon aesthetic was going to be versus what we get in Warcraft 3 and, you know, previous RTS efforts. And WoW was like, oh, this is, you know, I'm in WoW. I'm right up front with everything. I can see it up close. And we finally got a real taste of what their space demons were going to be and what that was going to do to set that apart from other games, including their own Diablo. Like, this was always an interesting juxtaposition for me in the game, in the Blizzard games, was, you know, I remember at the time hearing, okay, well, we're going to go back to the Legion and they're going to come and it's going to be bad and we're going to go to Outland and all this stuff is going to happen. But I always felt like a slight disconnect between that and what Diablo was, which was much more of a good old fashioned hell versus heaven sort of arrangement. And it, as such, the demons and even Diablo himself and the other primevals, they were much more sort of kind of the upside down cross variety of demonology, right? Like just a little bit more straight down that path, and certainly more violent and bloody and all that. And but the Burning Legion, very different take, you know. They got orky ears. They have obviously a very different history and origin. It's almost like aliens combined with a little bit of zombie in there. And it's a big contrast from other kinds of sort of stuff. Like ESO's got Daedra, you know, and they're, again, very sort of heaven and hell sort of things. They've got a new expansion coming out soon.
Yeah.
That's like
grounded, I think, is kind of the word. It's grounded as like actual freaking demons from hell can be.
Yeah. Right.
Like it's very kind of steeped in like a traditional, like almost Catholicism idea of what a demon is.
Yeah. Like those old paintings and tapestries and drawings from like the, I don't know, 1400s, where demons are, you know, they were all horned and looking like goats, and, you know, they definitely pull more from that. Whereas WoW seemed to pull from something totally different and made it unique, I think. I mean, in terms of like the kinds of sort of demon aesthetics in other games, I feel like the WoW one stands on its own. Maybe it's all the green light. I don't know, because you know.
It's very Warhammer-esque. There's a big 40K influence there. But at the time, Burning Crusade was a huge departure from what vanilla World of Warcraft was,
right?
Aesthetically speaking, you know, there was like little hints of it here and there. You know, there were certain zones we could go into and go fight demons, but having this, you know, colorful high fantasy MMO suddenly be like, we're going to space. And walking through and seeing, like, for me, when I think of Burning Crusade, the first thing that pops in my mind is the skyboxes. Like, it looks like an airbrush painting on the side of a van from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it was just such a departure from vanilla.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a huge, that's a really good point. Like, one of those custom minivans. Those are so rad.
I remember seeing BC previewed and just being like, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah,
like, because I only played Warcraft 3, and I knew there was demons and stuff, but all of the original, like, going beyond the dark portal stuff, that was in Warcraft 2. I didn't play that,
right?
So this was very new to me. And also, like, you gotta remember at the time, like, when vanilla came out, like, we were just coming down off of like the Lord of the Rings trilogy wrapping up, and we had a very traditional sense of what high fantasy was. And so for the first sequel to World of Warcraft, or the first expansion, to be like, just like space goats,
and
blonde elves. It was wild.
It was totally wild. Well, the thing that really hit me with that expansion, though, from an aesthetic point of view, was the sheer biome diversity in the zones. And there was already this cool thing in World of Warcraft where you know, traveling between two zones was not only seamless and no load screens, but it was really cool to pull around a corner and suddenly you're in Silver Pine Forest and you're like, whoa, this is nothing like the place I just came from. So WoW already had that sense of wonder and excitement about exploring the world. But specifically in this expansion, maybe more than any of them, it really had the contrast. Because going from Hellfire Peninsula to Mushroom Town is still a shocking experience. It's just like, I've gone from this huge cracked earth, flame, everything's on fire, probably 112 degrees everywhere you go, kind of Hellfire Peninsula kind of zone. And you go from that horrendous sort of dark, scarred desert, and then you walk into the most lush, humid, mushrooms strewn everywhere kind of zone, like Zangarmarsh. It is a hell of a thing to experience that. And that's when I went, oh, all right. So this expansion is really experimenting with like how I'm going to feel in different places. And when I get to Blade's Edge Mountains, it's going to be a very different feeling and experience. When I get to the Grand and see those floating islands with waterfalls, I'm going to lose my mind in there, because that aesthetic is its own amazing thing and stands apart so starkly in contrast to those other zones.
Yeah, by the time you got to Negrand, it was so gorgeous. Like, as you step through the dark portal and Hellfire Peninsula is just overwhelming with how uninviting it looks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is, frankly. I mean, you're just trying to kill those damn boars if you weren't raid geared. It was tough, but
yeah.
It's so interesting because, like, how many times have you heard me talk about how, like, orcs, like, how much I don't like Warlords of Draenor?
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. And just, like, how this, like, the entire expansion of nothing but orc aesthetic just kind of bored me to tears.
Yeah.
Burning Crusade was the most interested I'd ever been in orcs, and I think the most interested I've ever been since. Because, again, as someone who didn't know that much about Atlan lore until Burning Crusade, like, all I kind of knew was, like, ah, this is where the orcs are from. Right. And I remember walking through the dark portal and laying eyes on Hellfire Peninsula going, oh, that's why they're so pissed off.
Yeah.
Like, this is where they came from. Oh, my God. It's what a literal hellscape.
Yeah, it's gnarly. And you see those red ones, the red orcs, forget what they're called. The
Fell orcs.
Dude, I remember thinking, please let me play one of those one day. I still want to play.
Yeah.
One.
And it was such like, and I'm still not really, I read more quest text now as I've gotten way more into WoW lore in my later years. But back then I didn't read jack. I grabbed a quest, looked for cardinal directions, like skimmed the quest text. Like, yeah. Where am I going? Northwest, southeast. Cool. Let's go.
Yeah.
I didn't read jack. And so like the visual storytelling of Hellfire Peninsula, where you like, you go through the dark portal and you're fighting fell orcs and they're scary looking. They got spines growing out of their back. And then eventually you find the Magar orcs up in the corner. Like, you find the original like brown orcs chilling in a camp up there.
Yeah.
I remember just thinking that was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, oh, these are like OG orcs. Like, right. they're not green and they're not like the crazy red jerks that have been trying to murder me and drink my blood every step I take.
Sure.
Like, it's just, there's such cool visual storytelling going on in Outland. And it, like, I guess I shouldn't have been surprised because the vanilla continents have a lot of variants.
They do.
But Burning Crusade just like took it and just ran and cranked everything up to 11. It's like if a laser light show at the planetarium was actually cool.
Well, and that's funny you say that, because I think to this day, I wish I could say this about Shadowlands, because I think there's some neat diversity there. And it comes close, but I think at least the feeling I had on day one of Burning Crusade hasn't left me, and in a way is still the most impressed I've been. Even just walking out of that portal and seeing what I was seeing, which was a whole lot of fighting and a lot of BS going on around me, but also just this vast, horrible desert, which I visited recently when I was alt leveling and went out there and did one of the timeline levels out there. And, you know, not quite the same experience, didn't have the same, you know, sort of excitement attached to it, but it's still impressive. It's still really impressive. And even with graphical fidelity being what it is in the newer expansions and view distance being improved and all that other stuff, it's still something to see. And the just moving, like, Zangarmarsh alone to me is worth the trip. I'm not sure I've ever been more blown away by a zone, or at least this feeling of I've just moved into a very alien space. And now I'm going to be in here for a good 10 levels and it's going to be great. And I can't wait. Like, I loved being there. Shadow Moon Valley, kind of similar vibe. I couldn't believe that place. Just boggled my mind how purple and dark and rad it was. And yeah, like it's all, you know, a lot of it comes down to many voices of Blizzard, I'm sure. But I remember this was very early days for Chris Robinson, who, we were able to have on the 2018 BlizzCon stage for the Q&A that year. The previous year, he was part of our little instance roundtable with Patrick and Pat and myself. And it was awesome to hear him talk. But this is about when he joined. He joined around 2006 and was put in charge of kind of that expansion's character art. So those red orcs, those brown orcs, that just kind of that overall aesthetic of characters and monsters and mobs. He had a huge hand in that stuff. And he's still there. Rocking that thing, but I think we owe him a bunch of credit for the stuff we're talking about. I think he probably had a huge voice in that. Difficult to say for sure, but we know he has since and continues to do in the game, but really, really cool. The guy worked on the Bard's Tale games and the Lord of the Rings Fellowship of the Ring stuff, And he's still there coordinating art. So I just wanted to give a hats off.
Bard's Tale is a game I have not thought of since I was watching X play on G4.
Yeah, man. I love Bard's Tale.
That's the last time I heard the words Bard's Tale.
There's a newish one. The Bard's Tale 4, I guess, is supposed to be real good.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Cool. It's on Game Pass, I think. I might have to get in there. I've never played it, but I have very fond feelings for the original Bard's Tale. And
there was a bit of a golden age of weird fantasy games in the early aughts.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a very interesting time. One of the things that our discussion of this kind of prompted me before the show, and I wanted to mention it here. There are times I wish that Blizzard was less concerned about a brand new continent to explore. I like that too, but in an expansion, if the goal was to go back, and I don't mean in a cataclysm kind of way, but to go back and use these spaces again for meaningful content as backdrops for it. And I know they do that sometimes. Like in this last expansion, we all had to go up to Ice Crown and do a bunch of shit with Thorim and, you know, all that business up there. Or I guess that was Legion that we did all that. But, you know, having to go to old spaces that we haven't been to in a long time is one of my favorite things to do in the game, especially when there's something new to do there, or I have to go there to talk to a person, or I've got to go run a bunch of quests there or whatever. And it feels like that happens more in most of Azeroth and barely ever happens, if at all, in Outland. In fact, I can't think of an example where it happens in Outland. And that bums me out because I think the modern game should go back there more. And I don't know why they don't. Maybe they don't like how things look. Maybe it's too old. Maybe, you know, I don't know. They could do just the same, but just send somebody to Pandaria for the stuff I'm talking about. But I would love to spend more time there in the retail game, you know, outside of Classic. And I don't know why they don't, because that place is just full of rad shit. It's just so cool. And I guess you could say, you know, Draenor is that now, because that's that world before its destruction. So why wouldn't you go there? And it's better fidelity and everything else.
That's kind of my thought, though. Like, I part of me is, and this is just me talking about me and my opinions. I don't think it's like this is inherent truth, but Draenor to me is like the boring version of Outland. Like it's to me, it's the challenge of prequels. It's like, hey, do you want to know what your favorite characters are like before they were the interesting version, you know, from the movies you love? Like, that's kind of how I feel about Draenor versus Outland. Like, a world that has been torn asunder by evil magic energies is, I think, just inherently more interesting than the pretty idyllic, kind of more in tune with a traditional, you know, planet.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't have quite the sour thoughts about Draenor in its Warlords of Draenor form. And generally speaking, I did like the orc aesthetic, but we've talked about this before because I kind of like orc stuff. So none of that stuff really bothered me. My bigger problem was just that the tail end of that game felt empty and boring. But
it was the fewest additional patches of any World of Warcraft release.
Yeah, for sure. The most fun I had in there was just camping mount, rare mount drops and stuff. And that's not that fun. It turns out sitting around waiting for
I thank it for the updated character models, though, because damn, they are pretty.
Yeah, they hold up. They've continued to hold up great. Zero problem with that. And we're pushing, what, 8 years of those models now? I think so, with a couple of exceptions that came later. But I think we're... Boy,
really? Yeah, I think
you're 2014, right. So eight years or seven and a half, ooh, something like that. Yeah, so like they're holding up great. That's not any of my complaints about the aesthetic of WoW these days. I don't ever go, oh, I wish these models look better. They look great. No problem with those. So they built them to last, and that's great. And if they ever have to address that again, you know, maybe they can. But I guess my point is I would not turn Blizzard down if they said, hey, in patch 9.7, there's a whole quest line that'll take you, you know, a bunch of hours, and it's all in Outland. And it's, you know, you're going to go talk to this NPC and it's all to level, you know, it's not like old stuff. It's new content in those places. I would so do that. I would love that. And I don't know why they don't do it. MMOs in general, I wish they'd do this more. ESO does a pretty good job of retreading old stuff, but I just like the idea that once you've done it, you're not just done with it and it goes away. Like that still remains important. and a reason to visit.
We got a lot of that in Legion with the Order Halls. Like, it sent us to all corners of the playable World of Warcraft landscape. Mm-hmm. Like, especially for me, I did the Death Knight one, and the amount of damn times it sent me back to Northrend for something. It was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty rad.
But there hasn't been as much of that since Legion.
Well, Blizzard, listen to us.
And that was something that Burning Crusade did really well, too, because like we had the amount of time I spent hanging out at Karazhan in Old World.
Yeah.
Like Old World, Vanilla World of Warcraft, because that was a BC raid.
Yeah, right. That's true. There are a number of raids
all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just think Outland deserves more credit than it gets. And I know a lot of people disagree with me on like Hellfire in particular, that they thought it was just a big wasteland of nothing. And I just disagree. I think it's so cool.
Oh yeah. I'm with you. It set the tone for the whole expansion really well. And it made the more beautiful vistas that we find like later on hit really hard.
Yep.
Like really, really hard. Cause Hellfire is ugly and desolate and uninviting.
Yeah.
And then, you know, moving in the Zangarmarsh and like feeling, you know, covered and protected by the glow of bioluminescent massive mushrooms, or just how damn gorgeous waterfalls coming out of floating islands in the Grand is.
Right.
It pays off.
It does.
You're going through the Dark Portal. Look at that thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to go through that and see a beautiful forest, Hydraenor. I want to go through that and have my teeth kicked in by monsters.
Right.
Like that's what I want.
That's what you want. And that's what they delivered. I'm excited for people who are going to see Classic for the first time. They're going to do this for the first time. I know plenty of players who joined well after this. Jocelyn, your co-host on TAC, she's famous for always saying, oh, I didn't get in until Wrath of the Lich King. I never really got to see any of that stuff. She gets a chance now. She can go in there and see it for her first time. She can hear this sound for the first time. Hold on. Where is it? Here it is. She can hear that coming up from behind her, dude.
I have listened to this show so long. There was a time where I was driving to college and that sound was played on this very program and I swerved in lane.
That's great. That's great. You should, because it's a Fel Reaver and they're pissed as shit and they're going to step on you and they're the worst. And unless you're a hunter, you don't have a good way out of it. So
he's in a 2002 Ford Focus.
Oh, very nice. But yeah, those things were scary. They were everywhere. If you heard that sound, you immediately went, ugh, and you went to get cover somewhere or get the hell out of its, you know, aggro.
The day the BC beta went up for Classic, I streamed it and I legitimately died to a Fel Reaver.
Yeah.
It was a walk down memory lane.
Well, like all memories, they're worth returning to. And we hope you guys really enjoy what comes with the return of that game. And now this.
Mr. Johnson, I have questions.
Well, Mr. Metzen, we have answers. We have two emails, quick ones here. Neither are too huge, so I thought it'd be good to put both in. But anyway, we get these at theinstance@gmail.com. Marilio wrote in and says, I guess his name's really John. Anyway, says, hi. Any idea where we're supposed to buy the Burning Crusade Deluxe Edition from? I can't find it in the Blizzard store. I think that John might think that it's a physical box. It's not. They're not doing that. It's a digital deluxe version. And to get that,
it's entirely digital. There's nothing physical about it.
Yeah. I think there may be some confusion on that end, though, because I think a lot of people are like, ooh, my chance to get the box again and complete my collection that I never got that one or whatever. But that's not what this is. This is a digital-only purchase, and you'll do it through the launcher. I just looked at the launcher now, and there it is. Let's pre-order now. So if you are trying to do that, that's all you got to do. But I get the confusion. You're not the first person to mention it either. I think that there are a few people that saw that price tag and went, oh, that sounds like a box. It's not a box. It's a digital box. Okay. Think of it that way.
It's expensive, but you don't have to buy it. But it sounds like you want to.
Yeah. So if you want it, you should get it. Yeah. You should totally get it if you want it. That's what you should do. Lock Sauce on Airy Peak wrote in. Lock Sauce. That's great. I assume he's a warlock. Anyway, hi, all. Just want to let you know that I have been following all of Scott's soda reviews. I, too, have been kicking the sugar thing. Major Melon Zero rocks. Even better with a little vodka, he says. Keep up the good work. So if I haven't mentioned it... Oh, I don't have a can here. Oh, yeah, I do.
What is this? Oh, is this the excruciatingly pink Mountain Dew can?
It's not. It's this... Well, I don't know. There's some pink. It's this one.
Oh, well, yours is a zero sugar. Okay, I've seen the regular version of this, and it is delightfully, like, just day glow pink.
Oh,
like,
is it? Okay. Can. That makes sense that it would be ridiculous, because this is definitely darker. I've gotten hooked on these. I really like them. It's the zero sugar version of it, but it's major melon. It basically tastes like watermelon, and that may sound terrible. I understand, and I get it. They somehow got it right, and I could drink these all day. I don't, but I could. I drink maybe one a day.
They're very good. That sounds wonderful. Whenever I think of diet soda, the only diet soda I will drink on purpose is Diet Dr. Pepper.
Well, that's not a bad combo either. Or Diet Dr. Pepper, actually, they have a cherry version of that that I really like. And I also like Dr. Pepper Zero. The Zero formulas.
Can't do cherry sodas.
No cherry? Oh.
No, it's just like pouring Robitussin in my soda.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I'm not a fan of artificial cherry flavor, but...
Yeah,
it's funny. I have a sense memory with Diet Dr. Pepper, because the first time I ever had it was MLG Columbus. I was out there for StarCraft 2 with Kyle back in the StarCast days.
Yeah.
And they just had troughs of free Diet Dr. Pepper. Like every 5 feet you walked, there'd just be this ice cooler just full of them. Just you want one, grab it.
And I'd be into it.
I was 23. I was broke as hell. I'm just slugging these things down.
Well, you can do that when you're 23, because your body don't care.
Just I'm trying to think. There was a demo for, I think it was Firefall there at the time, which if that's not a sign of the times, I don't know what is.
Errors or Xzorin in the chat says the you never see a can of Mountain Dew in the shops around the UK. Are they banned in the EU or not? They didn't say UK, the EU. I don't know. Is Mountain Dew considered a
controlled substance?
Yeah.
They don't want you there to keep kids off dew.
It's a gateway drug to, I guess, other caffeinated beverages.
I don't know. Amp energy drink.
Yeah. Jolt from my day. Well, anyway, thank you for the emails, guys. The email address to use, and use it on the frequent. We'd love to get them. theinstance@gmail.com. That's theinstance@gmail.com. Before we go,
I'm going to end by saying, John, who our first emailer, I did just go to the Battle.net store and I can't find the damn thing.
Oh,
so
really? It's right here.
I'm sure it's on there somewhere, because I know I've been to the page when I was checking out pricing, but I may have accessed it through the launcher. I think you're onto something, John. I think it might not be very easy to find.
Interesting point. Let me rerun the thing. And where did I just see it? Maybe it's the launcher only and it's just not in the store, because that would be funky.
There's got to be a store listing, but it doesn't appear to be like forward facing. And even when I filter by WoW, I'm not seeing it. So,
all right, let's see. Oh, this thing's a little crunchy because it's running an emulation. Hold on. Okay, here we go. Come on, launch launcher. I shouldn't have closed it before. Well, anyway, I can promise you it's on there. I did see it there, but weirdly, I looked at it. Not in the store. You're right.
Yeah, it's not easy to find. That's for sure.
Blizzard. What y'all doing?
I apologize. I accused you of money grabbing earlier, and clearly you're not going for the money as hard as you could.
No,
because I can't find this product.
Garrett takes it all back.
I'll take some of it back. A little bit.
Some of it's fine. Hey, before we go, quick note about a few things going on outside the show. Garrett, anything going on people should check out this week?
Oh yeah. Hey Scott, you know that game Heroes of the Storm?
Heard of it? It's great. Love it.
It just got a massive patch put up on its PTR. Whoa. Which means it's going to get more updates so far in 2020 than Overwatch or World of Warcraft combined.
Wow, that's amazing, because it feels like Heroes of the Storm got pushed to the little kids table, but yet you're telling me content is forthcoming.
Here's the thing about Heroes of the Storm. We were used to updates about every month and a half. So when we have to wait 2 months in between updates, it feels like the end of time for us. Yeah. However, in other Blizzard games, you just don't get updates.
Yeah.
So there's a massive, massive patch on the PTR right now. It's not confirmed for next week, but we're expecting it to hit next week. And Kyle and I went into deep detail about all of the ways that this is going to drastically shake up the Heroes of the Storm meta on Into the Nexus. So if you're not already listening to Into the Nexus and you like Heroes of the Storm, this most recent episode is particularly good. because we didn't get very number crunchy. We tried to keep it conversational and take kind of a bird's eye view of which heroes are getting hit and how we think it's going to kind of shake up the heroes that you want to bring in to fulfill the roles that you like playing.
Nice. I need to play Heroes this week. I haven't touched it in a couple weeks.
Oh, let's do it, man.
The game's great.
See you Sunday sometime. I'll send you a text.
Love that great game. It's so good. My problem is that freaking Mass Effect game just came out, and I think I might play it. I think.
Dude, oh, I don't want to spend the $60 on Mass Effect again.
I know, but see, here's my trick. But I didn't play the first game at all, so already I'm a third off. And then, three, I didn't finish. So it's like I'm getting all three again.
You didn't finish three?
No, I didn't get quite to the end.
It's not great, but it plays really well.
I think I'd listened to all the hate, and I backed off.
You should still finish it. It is disappointing, but it's worth finishing.
Well, I say absolutely. It's still sitting there waiting for me to say yes or not, but I've installed it. Listen,
here's how I would like to warp your mind to enjoy three. All right.
All right.
The actual ending is talking to your crew for the last time.
Yeah.
Don't put too much stock in the ending.
Okay.
The real ending is getting one last chance to talk to your crew.
Man Shep or Fem Shep? Which way?
I went with Man Shep.
Everyone always tells me go Fem Shep, and I don't. And I don't. That's just how I play video games. I don't make ladies. I never do. It's not a problem with. I love ladies, and if your game is nothing but a lady, like it's Tomb Raider, great. I don't have a problem with that. That's wonderful. But if you're saying, hey Scott, customize your character, I always make a dude. World of Warcraft, all of it. I always make dudes. So
and while I'm all over the place, but in something where I'm role playing and like playing a character, I usually make a male.
I think I'm making him dude. Yeah, because I'm role playing. And it's okay if you want. Listen, if you want to role play as a lady, go for it. I think I'm making Manship. It's happening.
It's happening. As a matter of fact, I think I lost my save from one, and I was so annoyed I just rolled with the default Shepherd for two and three.
Yeah, and I like looking at guys' butts. Oh wait, I've said too much.
Well, listen, both versions of Shepherd, they do not skip leg day.
No, they don't. Plus, I want to, I guess I could do a lady-on-lady romancing of what's-her-name. I can't think of her name. I like her, though. Anyway, whatever. I'd love 2. You got to understand, 2 is one of my favorite games of all time. Like,
same.
It's so good.
2 is a perfect, almost a perfect game in my mind.
Right. But the beauty is, this thing unifies the 3 in such a way, including all the DLC and everything. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I know. Which there's DLC in 3 that I heard was really good that I never played.
Yeah, and there's some that you couldn't get. If you were on PlayStation 3, there was DLC you would never got. If you were on Xbox, there was some DLC you never got. If you're on PC, there's a ton of stuff you never got. And so this is like this unified final cut of all of it. And then stuff's been brought in line to play. Everything plays more like 2, like the center reached out.
Yeah, I want to play 1 with good combat. That sounds awesome to me.
I'm sorry.
Scott, you're talking me into it. I've been trying to decide between this or Resident Evil, but at the moment, I just kind of want a really relaxed game to play on the couch. So I'm leaning more towards Mass Effect.
That's where I'm at. I want to do this on my Series X.
I just want to lay on the couch with my 3 chihuahuas and not get stressed out.
Yep. Somebody already bought me a copy of Resident Evil so that I'll have a live scream. And yes, I spelled it right. Scream. Which starts on Monday. If you want to catch that, by the way, it's at 4 p.m. on Mondays until I beat that game. That's going to be terrible. But I think we've just convinced each other to maybe spend $59 on something. I don't know. All right. What else is happening? The instance.net is our website. You are encouraged to go there and get whatever you need because it's all there. All our archives, all our stuff, contact us, blee, blah, blam, blam. It's all there. And you're, as always, encouraged to use it at your will. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter. Garrett's at Garrett Art. I'm at Scott Johnson. You can find the show at Instance Show. And you can find more shows, I'm told, at frogpants.com, which I would also highly recommend you doing. Thank you for listening, everybody. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com. We'll be right back.